This is CliffCentral.com. Something just
like this. Oh my God.
Chain smokers. I love those guys. Huh? With Chris Martin from Coldplay.
This song makes me feel like a, you know, I have stick-on tattoos, little strawberry perfume, and long, stick-on flowy tattoos. Blonde hair.
What?
Like a little
that
teenage
song makes
girl.
You feel like that?
I feel like yes. That all the time. I don't need a song to trigger that. I just got to be in the right mood.
That was a very roundabout way to say that the song makes you feel like a teenage girl.
Yeah, teenage white girl with little denim short shorts.
I think you'd be very good. You'd be a very good teenage girl with the what strawberry? What did you say?
Like a strawberry scented perfume.
Oh my God.
Gold stick-on tattoos on my arms. That's my true spirit animal. Her name is Amber.
Amberly.
Amberly.
All right. Well, there's a frightening thought. All right. Fatiswa Ndaga coming in the next little while. We are going to, we'll get to that in a second. There's some interesting stuff, though. We mentioned all of our weekend plans a little while ago and how, you know, we don't like to drive, and spoke about the Venus Williams situation where she had that accident and someone was killed. Turns out it wasn't her fault.
Mm-hmm.
And they've looked at, you know, camera footage and they've figured out that she entered the intersection.
Lawfully is the word that they're using.
But in this country, the thing that nobody's talking about is these metered taxis.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's been a huge fight between the metered taxis with Uber, right?
Yeah.
Because from the word go, the gripe of the metered taxi drivers is that Uber drivers aren't required to be licensed.
No, that's not their gripe. Their gripe is that no one wants to use them.
Yeah, okay, superior service is taking business away from their antiquated, shitty model.
Okay, fine. So going into talks and discussions, this is the issue that they used as their, like, as their strategy,
mm-hmm.
is that they you know, they say that all public transport service providers need to be, you know, they need to apply for these licenses in accordance with the legislation. And I suppose the transport minister has now kind of sided with the meter taxi drivers.
So
he says that he now wants all Uber drivers to apply for public transport licenses in line with the legislation, failing which they will be taken off the roads, is what the minister is saying.
I mean, so you need government to say this is a good driver?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yes, because the meter taxi drivers were saying that no, but government are, you know, they're playing favorites here. It's a favoritism issue. We have to comply with said legislation while the Uber guys get to come in and just do their own thing.
Who uses metered taxis?
No. In theory, if they can get those licenses fairly and freely, like a meter taxi driver can get one, then okay, fine. Like, sure, maybe you need a license to engage in public transport. But if it becomes a thing where now the meter taxi industry blocks that, no. You don't want, like, I mentioned off air that I'd had an experience a year and a half, 2 years ago where I had to take a meter taxi. My phone was dead, and I spoke to the guy, and it was just a manky experience. Like, the dude was manky, the car was manky, and like I said,
they always have those cracked leather seats.
Oh,
in
dude,
the back,
and like, and the one
with no suspension,
and the one wheel's a spare wheel, and like the door doesn't close or open properly, and it's clearly the dude smokes in it all day, and like I said to him, I was like, okay, how much? And he busted out this number, and I'm like, no, dude, it's 160 rand from Cape Town Airport to where I'm going. I do the drive all the time. I'll give you 160 rand. I'm not paying 300 rand. And he's like, oh, okay, fine. Just halve his quote. And then I was like, I'll only do it if I can get an invoice, because this is a work expense and I have to claim it back. And he was like, no, absolutely fine. Absolutely can give you an invoice. And when he dropped me off, I was like, I need that invoice. So he got a pad of paper, literally full scap exam pad of paper out, wrote on it date, taxi drive, amount, and handed it to me. And I'm like, no, well, I can't get this money back. So that was horrible. And the thing wobbled when it drove.
But I mean, you know, this this fight against Uber, it has been very much a global fight. I mean, I don't know if you remember the incidents out of Paris, France.
Well, there are some cities where you just can't get Ubers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, legally speaking, there probably is an argument here, though. I mean, I know that, you know, we don't like the fact that we're having our ability to choose. Obviously, if you're going to pick between a meter taxi and an Uber, you're probably going to opt for the Uber. And now said legislation is possibly going to interfere with your choice, because the minister is saying, well, if okay, so this is now going forward, all of you are required to apply for this license. If you do not do so, we're taking you off the roads, and that's the end of the story.
Yeah. But I'm not going to, it's not an either or for me. I didn't use meter taxis before. And if all the Ubers in the world evaporated out of existence tomorrow afternoon, I would not use meter taxis next weekend.
Yeah.
I'll go to places that are closer, carpool, get lifts, whatever. I'm just, there's that great tweet, I don't know who tweeted it, that's been bouncing around, where it says, "Dear meter taxis, please stop being dicks. We didn't use you before. We're not going to use you after." For me, it's just like, and also, there's no excuse for violence and intimidation as a method of negotiation.
Well, I mean,
they are killing Uber drivers, then it's totally unacceptable.
There was one guy who was set on fire in Pretoria the other
day. Uber drivers, to my knowledge, are not killing meter taxi drivers.
No, it's horrendous. All right, well, there's enough to think about for the morning. Let's get Fatiswa in here, please. Bring the lovely Fatiswa Ndaga in here so we can meet her, spend a bit of time. Get to know her. She's a South African actress, television and radio personality. She's been on Generations, Scandal, 90 Plain Street, Mfolosi, Koetu, and Hau in 2014. And she has also recently won a couple awards, including a SAFTA in 2016 in the category of Best Actress in a TV Comedy.
Man.
Let's welcome her to the studio this morning. Hello. How are you, Fatiswa?
Good.
Have a seat. Grab a seat here to make yourself comfortable.
Thank you.
There we go. Look at you.
So nice and cozy in here.
How are you? I'm sorry it's so chilly this morning.
It is, but it's warm in the studio.
Let me give you the fanfare. this is the proper fanfare for real stars. You know, the reason it's warm in here is because there have been four people talking a whole lot of shit and it warms the air.
It's the hot air. Yeah. That's all it is.
So how are you?
I'm well. It's taken a while for me to get here. I mean, you've been trying to speak to me.
I know,
we
were talking to you 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Why were you avoiding us?
No.
Promise?
Why would I avoid you?
Someone said to me the other day, someone who I really have a lot of respect for, she said, you've got to understand, like, for some reason, a lot of people are intimidated and they think that you're going to ask them stuff that's going to upset them or embarrass them. And that upset me because
really?
I don't want it. That's not what I want to do.
No, of course not.
You know?
No, I was just busy at the time. And every time we would confirm, then there'd be another call. So I was doing two shows back to back.
So, which two shows are these?
Igazi and Harvest. Harvest is now on ETV. So, and I was a lead on both. So it was kind of hectic.
She's working hard, huh?
Hey now.
But tell me, acting, it's a lot tougher than people think. Everybody has this idea that you get paid a ton of money, that you arrive on the set like a princess and you get your dressing room and your dressing room is amazing and you get this array of catering and you have a place to sleep and you get your makeup done and your hair
your
outfits and you go on set and you're on set for 5 minutes and then you go back and you get driven home, and it's not like that at all.
They should have come to the sets that I was on. That would have really said, no, it's not all rosy like that.
Is it glamorous?
It's not glamorous at all. Sometimes you change in the bushes.
My God. How outrageous that they should make someone of your caliber change in the bushes.
So no dressing room.
Next thing, my gezem pump in. How dare they?
Basically, with quick outfit changes or something.
Yeah, no.
Sharing of dressing rooms.
Sharing and...
Is there a good craft table?
What you on about? Oh, where are we?
Okay.
What you on about? Stop it.
But you love acting.
I love it.
So this is why you put up with this stuff. Because also, you know, there will be productions that are big budget productions where you do get treated well.
Fairly well.
But then they're the shows that you want to be successful in, that you want to help out, that you want to be the best you could be for. And sometimes these shows don't have a huge amount of money. And sometimes whether it's the producers or the channel or whoever's commissioned it, they didn't put maybe as much into that kind of thing. And for you, the product's important, right?
That is. It's the most important thing. I mean, there are times when I say, no, I'm not going to do that show. No, you can't come back to me now with this kind of money. we were successful. Why are we going backwards? Why are we being offered pay cuts when we're supposed to be going, okay, that other season did well, let's up it up a notch.
Well, so, certainly. I mean, you know, the producers aren't going to get less.
No, I doubt it.
I thought all of this had changed, though, with that generation stuff.
No, nothing's changed. I think, actually, it's getting worse.
Really?
Yeah, this is what we hear all the time. No, channels and the broadcasters don't have enough money. So they're cutting down on budgets. Why then do you even have the productions? Because you're killing the quality.
I don't believe that. I'll tell you why. Because they still sell time during generations to advertisers at a premium. It's the most expensive time you can buy on television.
Yeah.
So if that show is bringing in the audience, because it clearly is, and it's getting the advertisers, they should have money. That would be like people saying, well, you know, Serena, you play really good tennis, but we can't afford to pay you anymore, so we're going to slash the Wimbledon prize money in half. Would you still do it? She wouldn't pitch.
No, of course not. I mean, we did one season of a drama. It was on SABC. Mm-hmm. And then I think they wanted to recommission. And the producers called us and they said, listen, we might be getting a second season. And then it just went quiet. And I met one of the producers and I said, what happened to the show? And she said to me, well, we were told that because we made it work in season one, now we must cut. They're going to offer us a lower budget because we made it work in the first season. So we're going to have to pay you guys less. And we're just going to have to use less money to make season two work.
And actually, what they should be doing is putting more money in so that they can keep upping the game.
This they know, but they're just playing dumb.
All right, I know you don't, but you're not one of those people who's walking around complaining the whole time. So I'm sorry to have gone straight there, but
you know,
the reason I wanted you to address this is you're an accomplished and successful actress, and there are a lot of young people who come to me and they say, "How do we get into TV? How do we get into radio? How do we get into this stuff?" So, I mean, do you have advice for them?
Whew.
Your advice is don't go into acting.
I mean, and people just want to do it. If you're able to sustain yourself somehow and know you're going to hustle, it's not going to be easy. It takes forever for you to get to a place where you say, listen, this is my rate. Do you really want me? And if you go in there with that understanding, then you're going to be fine, you know, and you've got something else you're doing on the side, or your family's rich, they'll take care of you until you hit that Meryl Streep level, you know.
Yeah, how many actresses and actors in South Africa do hit that level?
Probably one.
I know who you're talking about. I follow her on Instagram. I see what a great life she has. Do you know who we're talking about? Derry Bert.
Yeah. I'll put it together. It's like, yeah, because mostly I'm like, oh, you're in Europe again.
Because okay. You do need that one break, right? That one blockbuster movie.
And we don't get a lot of those. I mean, I hardly get, let me not say hardly, I don't get to audition for internationals. I don't know.
Is that an industry thing? Is that an opportunities thing? Or is that like a typecast thing?
I wish I knew, because I've been lucky in that somehow I've not been typecast. Mm-hmm. I've played
a lot of very different roles.
And then you want to raise the bar and move away from South African television and do international stuff, but I'm not getting that.
Huh.
I don't know why. It means I suck.
Maybe you suck.
No.
Maybe I suck.
I don't
Never
believe
call
that.
Like a
no, I don't believe that.
Why?
Your work speaks for itself.
You've done so much stuff. And I mean, look, there's a difference. A lot of people poo-poo these soap operas, but that's real. That's money. That's your bread.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And in this country, that's going to pay the bills.
Of course.
If you can get a decent role in a soap and you're playing a major character, you can live on that.
Of course. Look, I met one guy and he says, look, I've been on the soapy for 14 years, not because I wanted to be on a soapy. But I got married. I had kids.
I've got bills.
And because most of us would love to.
It's funny, I heard that from a stripper the other day, too.
Oh.
She was like, you know, I don't want to be a stripper. I don't want to be a stripper, but I've got a family. I got bills.
Yes.
But you've done a lot of radio as well.
Yes, I have.
In fact, I probably know more about you from that stuff than I do from your TV stuff.
Yes.
You've read the news.
I've read the news. I've co-presented.
You've done your own shows.
Yeah, I mean, when I was at Bob, I was even producing some shows. For
that was a pretty special station.
It was. It was. But I think we when we got there with some of the guys, we got there just after that special element of it.
What year was this, roughly?
96.
Okay.
The Bobs, all those other people had left.
Bob Mabena, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All those big names, your Glenn Lewis's, and we. So we were basically starting from scratch. Who else was there? Fat Joe was there.
But let's just get people on board with this, because for a lot of South Africans who. I remember listening to Radio Bob, because first of all, you could get it. Here in Johannesburg, in Pretoria, you could listen to it. And they played stuff no one else has played.
I know.
We only had the SABC for a while and one or two independent stations, but they weren't really good. And Radio Bop was like the coolest thing ever.
It was.
And when you listened to them, you got to hear international music. You got to hear a lot of local stuff that no one else was playing. And in the days of Bob Mabena and those guys, right in the beginning, it was the only incubator for black talent in the whole of South Africa. There weren't really any others.
Are they lost? I think
But this one and I are going back in history. But what is it about? We can criticize that whole Mangope regime of Bophuthatswana Tswana at that time. But that was one thing that I think we must consider a very valuable and beneficial addition to our culture. Because without Radio Bop, there wouldn't have been some of the talented broadcasters we had.
I think also, I mean, I was at Radio Transkei as well before I went to Bob. And
you did all the Bantu stuff.
But I've been everywhere. I mean, some would say Radio Hall, but
come on.
That's besides the point.
Yeah.
So Radio Transkei, we had that. And I mean, most of the guys went to PE to do Umhlobo Wenene. So you got some of the big names. But then when Radio Bob was really that, you know, that cool place that everybody wanted to be at. But it's just unfortunate that when we got there, those guys we wanted to work with were gone. Because there was a whole shift now. I don't know what happened. People were offered packages and it was supposed to go under SABC, that whole thing.
The murky.
Yeah.
Nobody knows the truth.
After democracy, what happens now?
Someone came in and probably bought it for R5. Who knows?
Oh,
do you remember Bob TV?
I do remember Bob TV. I did news for them as well.
Wow. I'm more familiar with Bob TV than Radio Bob. That's why I was looking a little bit confused there in the beginning.
But Bob TV was also, it felt like you'd almost, I don't know if this was just a white South African thing, but I felt almost like I'd discovered a secret. And I could, because I could watch these shows on Bob TV and all the other people only knew SABC. Because there wasn't anything. There was no ETV. Mnet only came in later than that. I mean, this is when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Bob TV, there was this, they played cool music videos.
Yes.
They had presenters who had personality. SABC was as dull as dishwater at that stage. So I felt like I discovered a secret. And it was coming out of Bophuthatswana.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know if whites were meant to know it existed.
You had your eyes wide open to the culture.
Well, you see, I was introduced to it by our domestic worker, and she used to watch it. And then I would watch it with her in her room.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd watch it there. So that was the only place. So I don't think other whites knew
it. It was your secret.
I didn't tell them. I didn't want them to find out. You know? Anyway. So yeah, I mean, this must have been an exciting place to start off, though. And doing all the radio that you've done since then, I mean, where did you feel most at home? Because you can be a nomad in radio. You can move around.
Yeah. But, like, it's so weird. People, when they talk about my radio days, they always mention Metro. Somehow, I'm always being thrown with the Metro. So I suppose I look like the furniture there.
Who were you working with when you were at Metro?
Metro, Ben Dikobe, Glenn Lewis.
Sure.
A lot of people. I did news on Robert Marawa's just before
he
started.
Can you believe what's happened there now with him?
Shocker.
What's the story now? Because the SABC have... he's off the air.
Mm-hmm. He is.
Right now.
Yeah.
Robert Marawa.
Udo Carrel says going to reportedly replace
him. Who cares?
Him,
who cares about... We're talking about Robert Marawa.
Yeah.
I didn't ask you who they're going to throw in there to hold the space.
Oh, gosh.
I didn't ask you what caretaker coach they brought
well,
in.
Well, just before I came in, I saw something. He's... Robert Marawa speaking to Touch.
Oh, yeah?
Touch HD.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I know Touch has wanted to talk to him for a long time.
Oh, really?
But Robert Marawa, really, he's done an incredible thing.
He's an institution.
He is. And he's managed to make himself really, really important in the whole chain of command that goes on. Who knows who in sport? Who can get those interviews?
Yeah.
He's done very well.
Extremely. Extremely. I just don't know who can match that in terms of sport in this country. I always think if they let Marawa go, who could?
Mm.
But let's give everybody else a chance.
Open up the industry, apparently.
Oh, I hate that line.
Oh, okay.
Can I tell you why?
Yes.
Because, I mean, there was this whole thing, open up the industry. It's not easy for actors. So if you see me in one show, which was probably shot last year, and then you see me in something now, we've probably shot that over a month.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that you're still working.
Exactly. And people don't understand that. And they say, we're seeing the same faces over. Do you know how long those faces have not been working?
And not only that, but those faces have been practicing their craft.
This is it.
You think when you're lying in your bed and you've got dreams of becoming a great actor or actress, they're just dreams. These people are actually working it day by day. They're hustling to get out there.
Who says that to surgeons? Stop operation.
Open up the industry.
Open up the industry.
This is so true. This is so true now that you put it like that.
Didn't you? You took like a break at some point in your career. There was like a 2-year break where you just didn't, we didn't see you on TV, we didn't hear you on radio. It was like a sabbatical, but you said you were going through some tough times and it was like 2000 or whatever.
Was it I went home. I went home, stayed with my mom because the industry was driving me bonkers. And I thought, you know what? Just go and stay with family.
You needed to detox.
I think...
Where is home, by the way?
Eastern Cape Mtata.
All right.
Yeah. So when you feel like, oh, now I'm getting toxic with everybody else... Pack up and go.
And you went home and you put on your capesana and you you went back to your roots.
I don't have the figure for a capesana.
And I don't think that passes in mom's house. Yeah, that's
exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So what did you get up to for those 2 years? What were you doing?
Well, when I was there, my aunt had she just opened up this old age home and I thought this is perfect. I'm gonna help her look after these gogos. And also I started looking after HIV positive people because she expanded the whole thing, and then we looked after, I was a caregiver.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a change from doing what you were doing before.
I know, but I think I needed to focus on something else that was really going to take my mind away from all these things that were happening in Joburg. Yeah.
Why did you need to get out of? You said it was just too hectic and the industry was driving you crazy. Was it people? Was it the jobs? Was it just you were exhausted and burnt out?
I had a bad experience at the SABC, a sexual harassment thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did it get pursued as an action, or was there a disciplinary process, or was there some kind of resolution?
Well,
what happened?
Yeah. So. I wanted to work in the newsroom and do the SABC 3 news because Dumi was leaving for CNN. Mm-hmm. And she actually said, I can't think of anyone else to replace me. Why don't you go and speak to them? And there was this gentleman there who was saying, look, it's fine. Just invite me to your place for dinner and coffee. And this wasn't happening. Mm-hmm. And I spoke to senior people there And one of them actually said, stop being childish. And
what?
Yeah, stop being childish. And at some point, what really, really got to me is that there was a woman who took over, who was an acting CEO.
Yeah.
And someone went to speak to her and said to her, what is happening with Vatiswa's case? Because this is really getting bad. And she says, no, that girl is childish. She's just creating stories.
Wow.
A woman. And so I thought, bummer, I'm not going to win this one.
Uh-uh.
And the spokesperson of the SABC at the time said, you know what? This is going to get bad for you already. I mean,
I love the way you're the victim, but you're being told that now you're about to, it's going to be your fault, your problem, your fault.
It was so bad. I mean, they terminated all my contracts.
TV and radio.
Radio was the only one because Romeo refused to get involved. Okay. Romeo Khumalo, he was like, she's staying here. But now after having all these contracts, I couldn't sustain myself anymore. Uh-huh. And everything was just going bad. There was this notice at SABC Africa, anyone seen talking to Vatiswa Ndaka will face disciplinary action.
You're joking. Yeah. They actually put up a notice?
Yeah.
That's, it's indescribable.
And I spoke to lawyers and everyone was like, don't even try. This is the SABC. And
so when you were in a corner like that, you decided I'm opting out.
Yeah. Because it was starting to affect my health. That was the first time I experienced a migraine.
You think it brought it on?
Yeah, I think so.
Did you have anyone you could rely on at that time, or were you on your own?
No, not at all. I didn't even trust anybody because even the women that were working at the newsroom, some of them were saying, we know this man, he would never do that. You will not believe, a month ago, another presenter only came to me now and said, do you know I was going through the same thing?
Mm. Oh, really?
The very same gentleman.
So when you hear about things like Bill Cosby, like you probably get a chill up your spine because you know what those women are going through.
Yeah.
And no one believes him because he's Bill, you know?
This is the thing.
And then there's a mistrial and he says, oh, it means I'm innocent. But but you're suspicious of guys like that because you've had a similar experience.
Exactly. You know, and people will be, no, Bill Cosby would never do that. I mean, he's Mr. Huxtable.
Yeah.
It's an act. Huxtable is an act. We don't know the real person. You know,
it's amazing how like men in powerful positions will use that to get what they want. And I suppose that's how men have always been. You know, they'd only bring home the food if they got something in return. So maybe we just need to evolve the hell out of that. But there are people in the world who they need to misuse their authority.
Yes. Why is that, though? Maybe I can ask you that as a man.
I don't know. To my knowledge, I've never done that, but I'm careful to say to my knowledge, because you could interpret, you see, it depends also how wide awake everybody is.
Yes.
Like, I think a lot of guys insinuate that sort of stuff. Sometimes they're being playful and they don't actually mean it, but sometimes they actually mean it.
Mm. And like,
if you're preventing a woman from getting work because she won't sleep with you, that's sexual harassment, even if you haven't said anything to each other or done anything. Are you very nervous around men in authority because of that kind of thing?
No. I don't know. I think I was just brought up to be a strong person. Mm. And I dealt with that. Well, I think I dealt with it.
Yeah.
But I'm not fazed. I'm not scared of people in positions of power. And you will remember I gave you a call about an incident, about a picture that was used. I'm not scared to say, you've wronged me.
Mm.
If it doesn't make you sleep at night, do something about it. I feel that way. If you're going to treat me in a way that's not satisfactory to me,
You're not going to take it lying down. Yeah,
I'm like a dog with a bone when it comes to, and I want to reach a finality of the situation, you know. Let us sit down. Even if it means you hate me afterwards, it's okay. But you
just
know,
give me some
I
respect
stand.
In the meantime. That's the least you have to do.
Yeah.
I mean, when you came back into the industry already, just a few years after taking this break, you were winning awards again.
It took you a whole 3 years after that, and you won the inaugural SAFTA Award for Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah, it was so
that was in
weird.
2006. Then you just recently, exactly 10 years later,
was nominated.
Got it? Yeah, you were nominated for a SAFTA in the category of Best Actress in a TV Comedy.
Yeah,
I mean, people love you.
Wow.
I think they do.
No, it's the truth. It is the truth.
Well, talking about awards, I've been nominated again.
Congrats. What's this for?
This is the Mzansi Viewers Choice Awards.
Everybody's talking about this. This is apparently going to be the hot new awards ceremony.
Really?
Yeah, that's what everybody's
this is
saying.
This is a new thing, right? This is like a brand new awards show.
Hasn't that channel done well?
Too well.
Huh? Yeah. I got some great shows.
Yeah.
Audiences love them.
In a short space of time.
They've done really, really good work.
What do you think their success is? Because they've now been able to widen the spectrum of showing local lives. You know, the realest of real, this upper class, this higher class. But they now show everyone. And the country's, you know, resonating with that.
They're running a business, first of all.
And properly.
Properly. Yeah, they're running it very well. And I think they try to find out what it is that people want to see. And if it doesn't work, they take it off. Because they also need to make money and also give quality productions. So if this is not working, let's take it off and bring something else that people are going to enjoy. I think that's the formula that works for them. That, okay, let's sit down. I mean, you'll remember The Road. Everyone, The Road, excited.
Didn't last
because they quickly realized it's not going to work for us.
Mm.
Unlike having things that are really, really boring and you keep on recommissioning.
Well, that's happened a lot in South Africa.
Yes.
Also, it's because people do what they know. Yeah. And sometimes they're afraid to jump out of that comfort zone. You look exasperated. What did you want to say?
No, it's like, can we just get the right formulas? Let's do the right thing. We can't always get it right. I get that. But, you know, let's invest on quality.
Yeah.
I think that's it for me. Let's invest on quality. Bummer. Oh, I could say so much more.
I think you look like you could.
I think you need to go to the trans guy for another break.
Another sabbatical.
Umtata, they're waiting for you.
Yeah, look, they call them telenovelas.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're really the big thing right now.
They are.
Yeah.
But I don't understand this thing of telenovelas becoming soapies. A telenovela is supposed to end.
After how long? Like maybe...
like a year.
A year. And then that's it.
Yes. A telenovela is...
a limited edition soapy.
Yes.
Right.
But here, it just goes on and you hear season 3. And I'm lost.
Yeah.
What are we doing now?
So essentially, they're soapies still.
Yes.
But maybe just calling them telenovelas got us excited.
Exactly. They just heard, telenovelas. Let's also give telenovelas to South Africans. But now they don't understand they have to end at some point.
I mean, from a writer's point of view, that must be annoying because you write a telenovela to have a finite number of episodes and certain resolutions and conclusions are reached by then. And what, the producers come to you and they go, oh, we need to do another season. Now with brand new characters? I've killed half of them. Like we were talking about Game of Thrones earlier. You've killed half of them. We can't move on now.
It's like Isibaya.
Yes.
Yeah. And then when it came back, people were like, no, man, the first season was nice. That was it. Mm. The first season was supposed to be it.
Yeah.
Don't go on and on and on because the writers have written a certain number of episodes. It's going to end like this. But now channel, it's doing so well. Mm. Ka-ching, let's have a season 2.
Yeah.
Well, who do you rate in South Africa when it comes to putting TV together? Even actors and actresses, give some credit to the people you actually like in the business and who you think are doing the right thing. Because we do have smart people in South Africa.
Yeah, like? Okay, I'm kidding.
I'm trying to think.
I was so ready for that. I was like, oh, damn. Okay.
Is there anyone?
Look, there are people who've done pretty well in the business. I mean, I look at the Fergusons, Shona and, and Connie. I mean, no one expected them to do the things that they're doing. It's like a shocker. But they seem to be good at giving good content, like Rockville. Rockville people were hoo-ha.
Yeah.
And then came Igazi. And everyone's like, how do they come up? And it's a Xhosa drama. You know, they're Tswana speaking people. Why do they get, you know? So I think they've done pretty well, even in casting.
And now with the queen, hey?
Now there's the queen.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's the queen. Do you even know what we're talking about, Gary?
No, I know. I know some of these shows. Yeah. I know some of these shows. I don't know the queen. When did this start? Is it on yet?
Yeah, it's on.
Yeah. And it's like daily.
They're going to go into the second season.
Yeah.
Rami Chwene, our Rami.
Rami's in it.
Yeah, she's actually going
she
to be a part of.
She didn't tell you?
And Dumi Morake as well.
Rami doesn't keep quiet about anything.
she'll be here to shout at me later. That's the truth. So what's the basic premise there with this, the queen?
Connie Ferguson's character is like the matriarch, and she's lost her husband, and they're dealing in drugs, and you know, they live in a swanky, leafy Joburg suburb, and it's dealing with the family drama around that. Yeah,
it sounds good. You've also been. It does. It sounds like a lot of fun. Does Connie do any of the drugs?
Well, now.
She
can explain for herself.
She's got to keep level headed if she's going
Rami
to run.
Does Rami do any of the drugs?
If she's going to run the business, so
don't get high on your own supply. Right. Drug dealing rule number one.
Now, Fatiswa, what about you? And you've always done motivational talks about health and that kind of thing. Are you still doing all of that?
I don't know if I've motivated. I'm still into this health and fitness thing.
Yeah.
I've never stopped. I think after all my experiences, like in 2005, I got into the gym for the first time in my life. If you knew me before, I was obese.
Were you?
I was bordering, yeah. So I decided, and from that time, I got addicted, you know. And then I started shedding some kilos, and I've just stuck to that, you know, because also... You need to look healthy in this industry.
Yeah, it helps.
It does help a great deal to even get more roles and stay for as long as Meryl Streep has stayed in the industry, you know, and get those leading roles. So, yeah, it's a huge part of who I am.
Do you think, though, that people are a lot, it's not just men, but people are a lot more judgmental of a woman in terms of what she looks like than men? In other words, that a man can be pretty gross and old and grey and not necessarily that appealing anymore, and he could still get roles.
Yeah.
But not so for women.
No.
Unless you're a goofy old granny character or whatever.
Yes. No, women we get judged very harshly. We have to look proper all the time. I mean, just bring that to relationships. You see this beautiful woman and this ugly looking guy. And he will say to her, "You're looking ugly today. I think you're putting on weight. What is he?"
Look at Donald Trump. Donald Trump is busy saying. Donald Trump was tweeting over the weekend about some anchor on a television show who he didn't like because she's giving him shit. Obviously, everyone in the world is at the moment, but he takes it also personally. Mm. And here you've got a guy who's he's 70 something years old. He's overweight. He has the weirdest hairstyle, if you call that hair, known to man, with like, it's got blonde highlights in it, God alone knows. He's painted himself orange. And he wants to criticize a woman?
Yeah.
A young, attractive woman about the way she looks?
Yeah, but you see...
Who does he think he is?
Donald Trump.
But doesn't he have a mirror in his house?
It doesn't matter for it. I mean, he's speaking from a position where that's been the norm for the longest time.
Yes.
So he probably doesn't register that, hang on, I forgot about how I look.
Yes.
I'm just so used to talking about how these women look.
Women are supposed to be the flowers. Doesn't matter what your partner looks like. He's a man. He can get away with stuff and get a leading role and get better pay than
you. How do we solve this problem? Shall we just start these ugly old men? Should we chase them out of the village? I mean, what should we do?
Let us.
Can we? Let's brandish our pitchforks and chase them out of the village. Flaming torches and pitchforks. All those creepy old men.
Of course.
Where do we begin?
It is a lot of work, though. So much work.
Are there ways of, do you ever see people in the acting business getting ahead really quickly? I mean, is it about who you know?
I don't know how that works, though.
Neither do I.
Because, I mean, sheesh. I mean, you'll see someone, and they haven't even done that well, but they'll be in a movie, even if it's a locally produced movie.
Yeah.
Doing so well. And then the endorsements and everything just goes. Do you think? Geez,
how did
what am
she?
I?
Yeah. How did he? That. Yeah. That doesn't seem fair.
What am I doing wrong?
Do you think that they have some? Maybe they're sleeping their way to the top. How dare
no,
you,
Gareth? I'm not going to go there. Yeah.
Why
no.
did you? No, why did you no. have to complain about sexual harassment? Why were you so childish? Why didn't you just yes. sleep your way to the top? Come on, what's wrong with you? You could have been Mrs. Cosby by now if you'd done that.
No, can I tell you? There's a guy who said, yeah. You know, you're so childish. Everyone is talking about this thing of yours. I mean, Fatih, so we sleep with all these girls. Look at so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. I mean, the cars they're driving. I could buy you a house tomorrow.
Wow.
And someone like that can face themselves?
The weirdest thing, that guy was an executive, he had an executive position. I can't even mention the place.
Mm-mm.
And he was fired
yeah.
for the same thing, doing it to somebody else, and became an actor.
Hmm.
He's an actor now, and we've been acting in the same dramas. Mm. Thinking.
But you hear it with politicians. Yeah. These men in important positions.
Yeah, yeah. It's the norm.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a two-way street, right? I mean, yeah. You have to be one of those girls who's willing to do that.
This is a thing. They just block everything out. I mean, there was a 20-something-year-old, and she said to me, "You take yourself too seriously. You take yourself too seriously. I mean, look at me. I get 50,000 a week. You just laugh at their jokes, and you act stupid. You take yourself too seriously, Vatisha. You could be living the life."
Did you for a second believe her?
Well, the guys she was with are people that I know are really mulad, and she's always around, hanging around these guys. And yeah.
I mean, it could be a way to live, but I think you'd probably hate yourself.
No, I could never do that. No. For me, I'm okay to go to bed without food for my dignity.
So then on that note, I would have to guess that when you play a role that relates and a lot of people love and genuinely appreciate, that means more to you then. When you know you've worked hard, sincerely, you've put in your all, yes. you are deservingly yes. where you are.
Yes.
And people are now saying, "Your Nomarasha is love."
You don't understand the messages and that I get from people. The things they say sometimes are so deep, and you can actually you feel that you can connect to this person who's writing this message. You can actually hear them say that, you know, we really appreciate you. You know, we don't. It's not every day that one can sit and follow an artist like you in every production they've done, and you feel you're getting your money's worth every time you watch. And you really feel good when such things are said to you.
What other things make it really, really worthwhile? Because you wouldn't be an actor or an actress if it wasn't for some. There's a benefit, there's an upside to this. And it's not just public adulation,
right? No.
What Sia's saying about the work being...
Can I tell you, I knew that I wanted to do this at the age of 6. My family went to the UK when I was 6, and that was the first time I was exposed to television.
I was going to ask you why you sound like Nella Di Pando. Do you get a lot of shit for that, by the way?
No.
Because, sometimes if you have an accent, and some, I mean, for you, it makes perfect sense if you spent a lot of time in the UK, but, you know, for some people, it's almost like an affect, and then other people don't like that, and they start saying things. You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
But it wouldn't happen to you.
Fortunately, it's probably not come to my ears yet. No. So I watched Dallas, and there was Fame, and
so that was that ignited the fire.
Yeah, and but first I saw the news, a news reporter, and I said, I can do this. I didn't even know English at the time. I'd stand in front of the mirror, and I thought, this I can do, and. But it was the acting bug, I think. And I said to my family, this I'm going to do, and I want to do it well. From the age of 6, and my brother would always tell my parents, just let her do this thing.
Yeah.
My parents wouldn't hear of it.
Well, of course not, because they didn't want to be supporting you forever. Are you kidding?
Yeah, and it took me forever. I just didn't give up on this dream. And when it did start finally happening... It's nice to escape.
Well, yeah.
It's nice, you know, to escape.
I'm not an actor, but I would imagine there must be something about it where you pour yourself into that character.
Yeah.
And for a little while, you become someone else.
Of course.
You don't have Fatiswa's problems.
No.
You don't have Fatiswa's concerns or thoughts or ideas or any of that stuff from your real life. You can just put it in a cupboard for the while, and then you carry on with this life as the character.
I think my favorite one was when you get drunk.
Your home affairs character. You played a drunk mother.
Yes.
Who at a point even like torched her shack down. And you were supporting two young daughters.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that one, just getting drunk. And
did you take quite serious research into that character?
Was this method acting? Yeah. Did you do a Daniel Day-Lewis where you actually walked around telling people, address me as my character, please?
Oh, yes. Wow.
Yes.
You know those people who do that?
They're so serious.
When he was on the Lincoln set as Abraham Lincoln, he forced people to refer to him as Mr. President. And he'd walk around in those outfits the whole time, and he would speak in that way, like the way they spoke 200
so
years
weird
ago.
Doing this.
Bizarre, right?
Yeah, I can't do that. You know, it's like when people ask me, how do you research... for your characters, I just read the script, because also half the time we don't have time to do the research. Here you can get a script today and you start shooting in 2 days.
Yeah.
I mean, on Ihao I played the president. I was called literally that morning and they needed me to start in the afternoon.
That's not a lot of prep time.
I know. And I was like, no, guys.
And you're playing a president?
The president.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's what happens. How do you research? You just have to read that script and understand it and kind of form your little movie about or the picture of this character in your head. And that's how I've managed to play the roles.
And what's next on your... Because you've got an agenda of things, I'm sure, that you still want to tick off. There are a lot of things that you probably could say now, okay, accomplished that, been there, done that. And you're the kind of person who, just judging by the fact that you could go away for 2 years on a sabbatical and just disconnect from everything, you're the sort of person, I think, who has a pretty good idea of what else you need to do and what else you don't need to do anymore. What are those things?
At some point I'm gonna do a talk show.
Aha. On TV or on radio?
On TV.
Okay.
Would
it be an interview show?
It would.
Okay.
It would. And it's not going to be the celebrity thing.
Who are you going to interview? Ordinary people.
Ordinary people.
With great stories.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something that I'd love to do at some point when I've done my Hollywood movie. After doing my Hollywood movie with Viola Davis and Meryl Streep.
There we go.
Okay, so no small fry here.
Yeah.
You really want to work with the best people in the business.
You know, a lot of people say you've got to put it out there into the universe.
You know what?
I said I'd just like to be in a scene with Tumi Shomasha. You want to be with Meryl Streep and Viola. Okay, no problem. I will put that in the agenda.
Thank you very much. Have
but
you
got to think
noted.
Big, right?
Of course. I mean, I think... I pretty much worked with people here. Mm. I'd love to have that international experience.
Sure.
You know, I'd really, even if it's something that's going to be shot here at home, even if we shoot it in Mtata.
All right. So we'll do a TV talk show. We'll do some movies.
Thank you very much.
That's a pretty full plate. Is there anything else you want to throw on? We've got the start. We've got the meat. How about some veggies?
How about me becoming Minister of Arts and Culture.
Now, that would be nice. Wouldn't it be great if the government would actually invest in some of that stuff? Because it seems like that post is completely worthless. I don't know what they do. I don't know how much value they add. They could be looking after local... Look who's here. It's Rami.
That's just trouble.
It's your friend, right, Rami Tren. Hello, Rams. How are you, Rams?
Uncle, hi, Bert.
Lord. There goes trouble.
But you are the trouble. You know it. You know it, you know it, you know it.
Hi, Rams. Friend. How are you?
Yes, babes.
We were shooting something Gara, together.
That one, she's babes warm jive.
Babes warm jive.
She jives like a mad.
Do you believe that?
I do,
she
actually.
Does. You know what she does? She can hit the splits.
What?
And the ball
excuse
show.
Me?
Like on the spot. Like
really. Does she party harder than Batabile Dlamini?
No, never. Batabile has nothing on this one. She doesn't get tired. Look like she wears me out.
A party person? No.
What a party animal this one is.
Okay, well there we can see. I always get the truth out of Rami.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, babes. What do you got coming up today?
Today we're taking to South African National Blood Services. The country has run out of blood.
It's the vampires. They keep emptying out the
and
reserves.
And we need blood, like, badly. And we also get to talk to one of the recipients. How it,
do you donate?
How it changed her life and all of that, yeah?
You donate?
Yes, but I'm anemic. I can't donate anymore.
Oh.
Yeah, I must just eat a lot of liver and spinach. Then hopefully I will get
the iron.
And broccoli.
And broccoli, yeah, true.
Are you a donor?
No, I'm also.
You're anemic as well?
That's why I know about the broccoli.
Wow.
Oh. Most women are, though.
Really?
Yeah. Most women are anemic. Yeah.
Is it a diet thing?
No, I think
it's more hormonal. A whole lot of hormones.
And remember, we lose some blood every month.
Yeah.
So. Oh, that thing.
Ah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Thing, I got you. Yes.
It contributes.
That thing. Yes. Sus.
Stop.
All right.
I only know about it when it works against you. That's all.
I know. Oh. All right. Rami Shrena coming up a little bit later on, everybody. Well, Fatiswa, it's been very, very good to spend some time actually talking to you properly
so
for a
much.
Change.
And, you know, can I just say something? For those people listening out there, please vote for me. I need to win that award.
All right. So,
oh, yes.
It's public voting for Mzansi one. Okay.
Yeah.
Mzansi Viewers' Choice Awards. Nominated under.
Favorite actress.
Halala, halala, halala.
Very nice.
And then you SMS who to what?
You SMS 7A to 39201. Yeah, that's my code is 7A.
There you go. Crossing fingers, holding thumbs.
Thank
the
you.
Whole thing figured out. All right. It's been a pleasure to spend time with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Fatiswa Ndaga, everybody. And we will catch up if you want. If you missed any of this in the podcast, you can get the whole lot. From the beginning, you can hear all about this very exciting life, this amazing talent. And I wish you well.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And get that award, all right? Otherwise, we'll know we failed.
Yeah.
We need to vote.
It's on our shoulders now as well.
You've,
okay.
You've made it our problem, so now we're going to have to figure it out. Thank you very much. All right, everybody.
Thanks,
Rami Tren is next, and we've got a beautiful array of shows for you today. Monday's always good on cliffcentral.com. Let's get your day started right.
This is cliffcentral.com.